Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The general sugya that we are discussing involves with the identification of fish as being kosher. The Gemara that began this sugya at the bottom of Lamed Tes Omid Beis featured a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source is marked with two diamonds in it, emphasizing the question that it raises, Ezohi, and it asks about a type of fish called Taurus. How do you identify it as being kosher? And a discussion concerning Tzir, the second diamond, featured the issue of identifying kosher brine. A word about the structure of this Gemara, as far as Daf Mem Omed Aleph is concerned. At the top of this daf, which was the very last part of the discussion in our previous shiur, the Gemara focused on the second clause of that Tanaic source. Namely, it dealt with the issue of the tzir that has a kilbis fish swimming around in it. If there's a kilbis fish, it itself is an unkosher type fish, but if it is swimming around in the tzir, that's an indication that the tzir is of a kosher nature, because otherwise the kilbis wouldn't survive in unkosher brine. So structurally, the Gemara immediately paid attention, we'll say, to the second part of that particular brisa. The Gemara that we will be beginning with is marked off in a brackets, and there's a rather long section that we've placed in the brackets, and you can see the length of it by looking at the length indicator. You'll notice a vertical dash dotted line running along the left hand side of the Gemara text, taking it down to the second wide line of the Gemara. The bracketed section focuses on information that was dealt with by the first clause of the brisa at the bottom of Lamed Tes Omid Beis. So structurally, the Gemara, if we assigned numbers to it, the Brisa was made up of 1 and 2, section 1, section 2. The Gemara's relationship to that Brisa was dealing with 2 and then going back to 1. And then after the brackets, it goes back to the section 2. So the structure of this Gemara is rather interesting. As we said, the top deals with the second clause, the bracketed section deals with information concerned in the first clause, and right after the brackets, the Gemara goes back to deal with information in the second clause. That being said, we have laid out the general structure of the Gemara. Let us now turn to the third line from the top of Daf Mem, Itmar, Rav Huna Omar, Ad Shetehei Roish Veshedra Nikar. The Brisa had mentioned on Lamed Tes Omid Beis that one is not allowed to eat Taurus fish unless he can identify the head, the spine of each fish. So Rav Huna says that it's necessary to be able to identify the head and spine. In other words, to recognize the head and spine of each fish that he wants to eat. Rashi had pointed out, and we mentioned this in our last shiur, that the signs of kashrus are noticeable by the shape of the head and the presence of a chut hashedra. A tome fish has a pointy type head, a head that tapers, and it doesn't have what's called a chut hashedra. So Rav Huna says it's necessary to have both qualities, identification of the head, namely the head should be non-elongated, and the shedra should contain the chut ha-shedra. Shedra is associated with the spine. Rav Nachman Omar, oi roish oi shedra. It's sufficient if one recognizes either the head or the spine. In other words, you don't have to notice both elements in order to allow that particular fish to be eaten. Mosiv Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rav Ukva will raise a question on both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. The Gemara's, the question will be based on a source that tells us that the signs of kashrus of fish are determined by the presence of fins and scales, not the shape of head and chut ha-shedra. The source, and you can see we have a frame around it, it's a short source, it says Ubedogin. When you're dealing with fish, the signs of kashrus of fish are kol sheyeshlo snapir v'kaskeses, all those that have fins and scales, and nothing to do with head and chut ha-shedra. Omar Abaye ki tanya hi be'aro uflum ufalmuda. This source is the source that says that dogim, you have to have fins and scales, is dealing with fish that if you were to rely on the head identification, you would not be successful, because the head form of the ara and the falmuda are similar. The domu reshayu, their head shapes are similar latmeim, to unkosher variety fish, so that when you have a fish like that whose head shape is very close to that of an unkosher variety fish, you have a fallback position. Check out the presence of fins and scales. Omar of Yehuda Mishmei de Ulo Machloikes L'tabel B'tziron. The Machloikes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is how, in other words, how much you have to recognize, is with regard to the use or the consumption of their brine, the fish brine from those fish. Aval begufon, but if you're interested in eating the fish itself, the meat of the fish, divrei hakol osur ad sheirosh v'shedra nikar, everyone would agree, namely even Rav Huna, even Rav Nachman, who said oi roish oi shedra, even Rav Nachman would say that you have to have both signs, sign of head shape and presence of chut hashedra. At this point in the Gemara, we have a point, a long point. It's indicated on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. Nun stands for nekuda, a point. Omar Rabbi Zera, Meresh hava matbilna betziron. At the outset, at first, I used to dunk my bread or whatever into the brine with one sign, namely I recognize either the head or the chut ha-shedra of the fish that is that's found in this particular brine that I want to eat. The reason that I relied on one sign is that my feeling was that the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Nachman concerned the eating of the fish itself. But as far as the brine, I thought everyone was in agreement that one sign would be enough, head or chut ha-shedra. Kevma de shemana lahal de yomar of Yehuda mishmei de ula. When I heard that which Rav Yehuda says in the name of Ula, namely, machlokes l'tabel betziron, that the machlokes concerns dunking in the brine, the consumption of the brine, aval begufon divrei hakol osur ad sheirosh v'shedra nikar. But if you want to eat the meat, everyone agrees. Even Rav Nachman would agree. You need to have both signs. Then betziron nami lo matbilna. With regard to the brine itself, I wasn't going to dunk anymore. I wasn't going to eat it, basing myself on one sign. But I was machmir and require for the brine itself two signs, recognition of head and presence of chut ha-shedra. In other words, I was choshesh for shitas Rav Huna, who was machmir with regard to the brine as well. Omar Rav Papa Hilchasa Ad Shehe Roish V'Shedra Niker Shall Kol Achas V'Achas. Rav Papa says that we will paskin that you require both signs to be recognizable. It can be assumed, of course, that if Rav Huna is paskening something, the term Hilchasa comes up when you have a controversy. And we saw that the controversy exists within the realm of the brine. So Rav Papa is taking a strict approach that even for the brine, which isn't the fish itself, we require both signs. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it appears in a frame as we mark off all Tanaic sources in the Shas Ozer and frames to set the Tanaic material apart from the rest of the Gemara. Chatichos sheesh bohen simen bein bekulon bein bemiksosan, pieces of fish that have a sign on them, whether each one has a sign or some of them have a sign. Even if one out of 100, you have 100 pieces of fish there, and you notice on one piece the Chut HaShedra, for example, or you see the head, Kulon Mutoros, and you can eat all of them. An incident happened where an idol worshiper once brought a receptacle full of pieces. The nimsa simon bechod mehem, and a sign was noticeable on one of the pieces. The hitir of Shimon Gamliel as a gerav kulo, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel allowed the consumption of the entire contents of that vessel. We see from here that the requirements for consumption, allowing the consumption of the fish, is actually very minimal. In other words, one simen amongst all of the pieces, and not like Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said that you have to have a simen nicker of on each piece. You can see with our dashed underlining method, in Rav Papa, we've dashed underlined the expression shel kol achas v'achas. In the Tanaic source, we've dashed underlined bein b'miktsosan v'afilu b'echod mimeo shebehen, which is the point of difference or question on Rav Papa. The Gemara answers Tirgum Rav Papa. Rav Papa explains this Tanaic source k'shechatichos shavois. We can call this a jigsaw puzzle, namely that all of the pieces fit together to form one fish. All of the pieces fit into one another. So you can see that it comes from one fish, and therefore it's enough if you have just the sign of kashrus on one of the pieces. Well, ihachi maila memra, if that be the case, so what do I need the source for at all? If Rav Papa's explanation of the source is that they're all interlocking, so it's obvious they form one fish, and therefore it's obvious that if I have a sign of kashrus, that would be enough. So the Gemara answers, Mal de temo, namely, without this source, I would have thought nechush dilmo esrami, that they interlock, they fit into one another, but just happen to work out like that. But they really come from different fish. Komash Malon, that's what the source is telling me, as per Rav Papa's explanation, that you don't have to take into consideration the possibility that just worked out that different pieces from different fish fit together, but that they all come from one fish, and therefore we can be lenient and rely on the presence of a simon, a sign on one of the pieces. Hahu Arba de Sakanta. An arba is a boat of tzachanta, a type of fish, a kosher variety fish. The osi l'sichra came to the town of Sichra. Nofak Rav Huna bar Chinana, the chozabe kilfi, the sharia. He came and saw scales in the boat and understood that this was a kosher type of fish, kosher fish here. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara is found on the outside margin, no say. That means the topic. Ha'im efshir lahatir al smach metzias kaskasim bekirvas mokim ledogim. Can we rely, can we allow, based on the presence of scales in the vicinity of the fish? And the question the Gemara will deal with is, one, hatsir, the brine, and two, hadogim atzmom, the fish themselves. So we have this boat that came full of fish, tzachanta type of fish, and the boat was found to have in it scales. So based on the presence of the scales that were found in the boat, Rav Huna Bar Chinina was matir it, allowed it. Amalei Rava. Rava challenges this and says, "Umi ika deshori ki hai gavna b'asra deshchichi kafi." Who is it that would allow some fish to be eaten based on the presence of scales in a place that there happen to be a lot of scales? Rashi says, "Umi ika deshori ki hai gavna b'asra deshchichi kafi." It could be that in this boat there really are kosher variety and unkosher variety fish, and the scales came from the kosher variety fish, but there are unkosher variety fish mixed in together here. And if you're going to rely on the presence of the kaskasim and declare the entire boat to be kosher, you'll be running into trouble. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina was a lenient opinion, Rav Papa a strict opinion. Nafak Shipuri the Rav of Osar. Shipuri literally is a shofar, but it means it's a means of announcement, we'll say. An announcement went out featuring or announcing Rava's psak, Rava's ruling, and the osar, and the ruling was one of restriction, prohibition. In other words, not to rely on the presence of scales to matir to allow the fish. Shipuri de Rav Huna Bar Chinina, and the announcement came forth from Rav Huna Vishori and allowed that case, allowed all of the fish to be consumed, basically saying that we will rely on the scales that are found in the boat to indicate that all of the fish here are tar, are kosher. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyomi Difti, L'didi Amar Li Rav Papa. Rav Yirmiya tells us that Rav Papa told him, we have here the triangles, and the triangles emphasize the expression kishara, under what circumstances was a heter given. So he tells me, this is Rav Yirmiya tells that Rav Omar Li Rav Papi, that Rav Papa told him, Kishora Rav Huna Bar Chinina, when is it that Rav Huna Bar Chinina issued his lenient opinion, namely that you can rely on scales to shed light on all of the other fish in their vicinity? But Sira, and that's as far as consuming the brine. But as far as eating the fish themselves, even Rav Huna Bar Chinina is not going to allow their consumption based on the presence of scales in the vicinity. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi disagrees. He's mekil. He is more lenient. He says, L'didi Omar Li Rav Papa, it was told to me by Rav Papa. In other words, as opposed to Rav Yirmiya Midifti said that it was told to him by Rav Papi, so Rav Ashi says it was told to me by Rav Papa. Kishor Rav Huna Bar Chinina, when is it that Rav Huna Bar Chinina allows, gives his lenient ruling with regard to the presence of scales? Afilu Begufon, even to eat the fish themselves. In the meantime, this is all being told to us by Rav Yirmiya Midifti. Ve'ano lo meser asrina, I don't forbid the eating of the fish themselves. In other words, if I had a case like this with a boat of fish and there were scales around the boat, I won't forbid the eating of all of the fish, the Ka'omar Li Rav Papa, because Rav Papa gave a lenient ruling, and we saw that We might want to correct some, just a detail here, that the speaker in this section of Gemara is Rav Ashi. He told us that Rav Papa gave him the lenient ruling, and Rav Ashi tells us that he won't ban the fish because of the ruling that he heard in the name of Rav Papa that was lenient. However, for Lo Meshra Sharina, I won't give an outright ruling of allowance of leniency to Ha Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmei De'ula, because there was the statement made by Rav Yehuda Mishmei De'ula that said Machloikis L'tabil B'tziron, that the only time you see a lenient opinion, that's with regard to the brine. That Machloikis we saw before, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and the only time you'll see a potential for being mekil, that's with regard to the brine. Aval begufon divrei kol atzye shedra rosh v'shedra nikur shel kol echad ve'echad. But as far as eating the meat itself, you'll have to recognize the head and chut hashedra of each one, and certainly not to rely on the presence of scales to allow the consumption of the fish themselves. Yosef Rav Chinuna bar Idi Kamei de Rav Ada bar Ava v'Yosef v'ka Omar. Here, as we mentioned before in our introduction, that the Gemara is now going to turn back to the issue of the kilbis fish found in brine. So the following was said. This is v'Yosef v'ka Omar, Oyved kechovim shehevi areva mlea chovios, an idol worshiper that brought an areva as a type of boat, a barge full of barrels. V'nimtzeis kilbis ba'achas mehen, and a kilbis fish was found swimming in one of them. So we have a number of barrels of brine, and a kilbis found in one of them. So it depends. Psuchos, if the barrels that the idol worshiper is bringing are open barrels, kulon mutaros, the fact that the kilbis is found in one is indicative of it, of all of the barrels around it being allowed also. Setumos, if the barrels around are sealed, then he muteris, the barrel that I found the kilbis in is muter, the kulan asuros, the others are not allowed. Omar lehi, mino locha. So he was asked, how do you know this? Omale, he answers, Mitlosa Karoi Shomili. I heard this from three. Karoi means three great sages. Merav Merav, Ushmuel, Verebi Yochanan. At this point you see a slash in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. Omar of Bruna, Omar Rav. Kirve dogim v'ubron ein nikrin elo min hamumche. Kirve dogim literally are fish entrails, fish innards, and ubron is a reference to fish eggs. One is not allowed to purchase them other than from a mumche, someone who knows and can identify the each type of fish that he's selling, that he's dealing with. Rami lay ula le Rebbe Dostoy de Minbiri. Ula raises a kasha to Rav Dostoy. Midikoma Rav, from the fact that Rav says kirve dogin the ubron ein nichen ela mina mumche, the comment that was made was that the fish innards and ubron are the fish eggs, that one is allowed to buy them only from a mumche. Michlal the dag tome islay ubar. Then you're implying that because I have to go dafka specifically to a mumche, it must be that the dag tome also has ubar. Ubar would mean eggs, that the unkosher variety fish produces eggs, or produces its offspring through eggs. So that we raise a kasha, viramini. We have a source that indicates something to the contrary. Dag tome mashritz. that means that the Dag Tomei develops the offspring fish, the next generation of fish, within it. In other words, it's called a live bearer. Dag Tor Matil Beitzim. Only a kosher variety fish lays eggs. So, if this were in fact the case, then if we were to follow the Brisa, then once I have fish eggs, I know that it comes from a kosher variety fish, because this source tells us that unkosher variety fish don't lay eggs; they are live bearers. So the Gemara has two approaches. Sami mikan ubran. Let's take out of our discussion the ubran. We have this comment of Rav Dostoy Men Biri in the name of Rav, said that the ubran ein nikam ela min amumche. Let's just take that out because of what the source says. The source says that once you have fish eggs, you know that it came from a kosher variety fish. Amalei Rabbi Zera, lotis me. Don't take out anything from the source. Travayu matile beitzim ninu. Both kosher and unkosher variety fish produce eggs. Elozeh mashritz mi b'chutz, vezeh mashritz mi b'fnim. The development of the ubar, according to the when you're dealing with the unkosher variety fish, the development of the offspring takes place within the fish. The development of the offspring of the unkosher variety fish, the development of the offspring takes place outside. The Gemara now asks, Loma li mumche, what do I need to have someone who's expert in this for? Livdok besimonim. Could I not just check the simonim? In other words, let me check the eggs. The eggs have a simon to it. Why do you have to go to a mumche? Could you not just check out the simonim? After all, eggs have simonim. At this point in the Gemara, we have Gemara says Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. We have also a bracket here that indicates that the Lushan inside the source requires rectification. So what we do in this case is we skip the section in brackets, and we also have a long question marking to help show the length of the question to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf encircled with a long vertical line. After the brackets, we have a Tanaic source. It says there, Kesimone beitzim, kach simone ubre dogim. Just like eggs have a sign by their shape, so too fish eggs can be identified. V'elu hein simone beitzim. And the following are the simonim of that one finds when looking at eggs. So what happens is, at this point in the Brisa, it discusses regular, we'll call bird eggs. What are their signs? What identifies it as kosher and what's unkosher? And with that in mind, we would then apply the same shapes and apply it to fish eggs. Fish eggs often come in the fish in a. There are many, many, many little eggs that are compacted together, and that compacted group of eggs has a form that that looks like a bird egg. So once I know the form of a bird egg, what is kosher and what's not kosher, I then look at the fish eggs. How are they formed? And by that, through their form, through their shape, I would then know if it's kosher or not. And the question then comes back is, why do I have to go to a mumche? Why did we learn above in the name of Rav Dostoy Demin Biri that quoted Rav that said that Kirve Dogim and Ubron, which was a reference to the fish eggs, one purchases only from an expert. So as we look in this particular source, the source says what the simonim of the eggs are. Before we go further in the Gemara, after having given all of that introduction, let's go and read it straight through with the brackets. So the Gemara's question, the lead-in question is, why is it necessary for me to go to an expert, and someone who I can trust and rely on, and only from him do I buy the fish eggs? I can just take a look at it myself. Livdok, the simonim, the Gemara said right before the brackets, Disanya. We have a source, Kesimone Beitzim, Kach Simone Dogim. As there are signs on to determine what a kosher egg is, so similarly you can determine what a kosher fish is by its signs. The Gemara asks, how can you compare how can you make a comparison between bird eggs and fish? Fish meaning the fish themselves. Simone dogim salkadaitoch. Do you think we're talking about the signs of the fish themselves? Simone dogim snapir vikaskesis ksibhu. The ksibhu means the Torah writes what the signs of fish are, namely fins and scales. That's snapir vikaskesis. It's not shayach to talk about fins and scales with regard to eggs. Elo, here is the corrected version of that source. Kisimone dogim, just like there are, or just like the signs that appear on bird eggs are what they are, and that will be, we will see that shortly. Kach simone ubre dogim, the same sign can be used to identify kosher fish eggs. V'elu hein simone beitzim, and the following are the signs of eggs. Kol shekideres the agulgelis, an egg has these two aspects. Koderes is a description of the ends, where one end is wide and the other end tapers. The agulgelis is a description of the sides of the egg, that they are rounded. Roisho echod kad v'roisho echod chad, if an egg is such that one end is kad, is wide, and the other end is narrow or like sharp or tapers, that is a sign of tahora. Beis roshel chadin, beis roshel kadin. If, however, both ends are tapered or both ends are rounded, and would seem that it's spherical, then tamea. Another sign. Chelmon mibachutz vechelboin mibifnim. If the yolk of the egg is on the outside and the albumen, the white section, is on the inside, that's a sign of tamea. Chelbon mibachutz vechelmon mibifnim. If the albumen is on the outside and the yolk is centrally located, tohor. That's a sign of a kosher type egg. Naturally, when you prepare an egg, let's say a regular chicken egg, and you hard boil it and you cut it open, you'll notice how the yolk is centrally located in the interior. Chelboin v'chelmoin mu'uravin zevozeh. If the chelbon, that's the white part of the egg, you can always remember that by looking at the word chalav, you can see in the word chelbon. And the chelmon, that's the yolk, or often the yellow, that you can see in that word, the word limon, or lemon, which is a yellowish color, characteristic of a yolk. So if you find the chelbon and the chelmon mu'uravin zebozeh, that they're mixed in with one another, zu hi beitzas hasheretz, that would be indicative of the egg coming from a sheretz, non-fish and non-bird, but rather a creepy crawler creature. With that, we see a question mark indicating the question has come to an end. Namely, why do I have to go to a mulche in order to buy eggs? In other words, rely on his expertise and he'll tell me that this comes from a kosher source, when I can determine the kashrus of the fish eggs by looking at the shape that they are. If their general shape is like that of a bird egg, you can rely on that. Omar, Rava answers, Kishini Mochu. The case of the mumche, that I have to go to the expert, is when they have been mashed. Well, if they've been mashed, so I can't rely on a shape. The shape has been deformed. But even so, if the mumche says that they come, that these are kosher eggs, kosher fish eggs, you can rely on him. Notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have an arrow. This will help us in to find where the next comment is coming from. We have a parallel arrow above. So here the Gemara asks on the bottom line, Ule Rebbe Dostoy de Minbiri Domar Sami Mikan Ubron. We saw him before that said, if you notice, there was we had raised a question above. After hearing Rav Dostoy de Minbiri that says that fish eggs are bought only from a mumche, and we had a source that indicated that fish eggs are characteristic only of kosher type fish. So what do you have to, once you have fish eggs, you know it comes from a kosher fish. So Rav Dostoy de Minbiri simply said, we simply said regarding his comment, well, you don't need to take out from the requirement of going to a mumche, take out the issue of ubron. Well, we have a question. V'hotanya, hisimone beitzim, kach simone ubre dogim. Just like eggs have a sign, so too fish eggs have a sign. So that would indicate that all kinds of fish produce eggs, and I have to rely on the sign in order to determine whether it's from a kosher or unkosher source. But the impression that we got when we learned Rav Dostoy de Minbiri and the reaction that we had was just take out the issue of because after having been confronted by that Tanaic source, we saw that only kosher fish produce the eggs, and as a result of that, there's no need to go to a mumche for fish eggs. But from this source, we see that you need a sign in order to determine the kashrus of the fish eggs. If that be the case, that shows that all fish all fish, including unkosher variety fish, do produce eggs. So the Gemara answers, Lav Terutzi Kometartzis Law. Did we not have to, when this original source appeared, we saw the source when we read this source that was just quoted at the top, Kesimoni Beitzim Kach Simone Ubre Dogin, that was a result of a reconstruction of a source that we saw on Omid Aleph. And in order to assist in finding where things appear, we add here arrows that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. The top line, we have an arrow pointing that indicates Mem Omid Aleph. So if you turn back to Mem Omid Aleph, you'll see where this particular phrase came from. It came from a source that we found right after a bracketed section. In other words, this quote is a reconstruction of a source that was originally problematic. What are we doing then right now? We're asking on Rav Dostoy de Minbiri from a source that itself was problematic, was textually problematic. So the Gemara says, well, instead of asking him from that source, realizing that we had to redo it, so too, regarding the question that we're asking on him right now from that redone source, redo it in another way that it poses no question on what he said. So we'll see this again in the Gemara, on the second line from the top. Lav terutzi ka metartzis lo. Did we not have to redo that source? That this quote on the top line is coming from. In other words, the top line that you're asking on him is a redone source. Teritz hachi. Well, then I suggest redoing it thusly. Kach simone kirve dogim. That just like bird eggs have signs, so too fish entrails, not fish eggs, fish entrails have signs. But as far as fish eggs are concerned, you wouldn't have to worry, according to the answer we gave for Rav Dostoy Diminbiri, where we said, Sami Mikan Ubron, take out the issue of fish eggs, because, as he would say, only the kosher variety fish produce the eggs. As far as the redoing of the source, of the original source, in his opinion, which featured eggs and something, bird eggs and something concerning fish, well, there is a connection. That's bird eggs and fish entrails, not fish eggs. So the Gemara asks here, Vehechi mishkachas besimone kirvei dogim sheikad v'chad. Where in the realm of fish entrails do you have something that will be narrow at one end and wide at one end? Kad is wide at one end and narrow at the other. So the Gemara answers, there is a type of fish entrail that has that characteristic, mishkachas lo b'shilfucha. Shilfucha is an organ inside of fish that helps in its ballast. And that organ, when it's inflated, will in fact take on such a shape where it's rounded at one end and tapers at the other. Just a detail with regard to the approach taken by Rav Dostoy Diminbiri. He mentioned that only the kosher variety fish have the eggs, and the unkosher are live bearers. And as a result of that, he said, "Well, then you really don't have to go to a mumcha for fish eggs." Let us just recount that there was a second approach, Rabbi Zeira's approach. He dealt with that in a different way. He said you don't have to take out the issue of Ubron from the original comment in the name of Rav, because both do have eggs, just the question of where they develop, whether internal or external. Continuing in our Gemara, Im Ein Shom Mumchemai, let us say you have a situation where you have mashed eggs and you don't have a mumche, an expert. What do you do then? Omar Rav Yehuda. Kevan di Omar ani malachtim mutorin. If the person selling you the eggs says to you, I salted the fish and I saw that they were a kosher variety fish, and from those kosher variety fish that I salted, so I extracted these innards. When we say these innards, we're including the mashed eggs. Rav Nachman disagrees with Rida, and it says that declaration is not enough. Ad shiomar elu dogim v'elu kirveihem. The person you're dealing with has to be able to show you the fish itself and say, this is the fish and it's from these that I extracted the mashed eggs. The Rashi points out that for him to say, according to Rav Nachman, for him to say that I saw the fish and these are the eggs, or these are the mashed eggs that I took from that fish, it's not enough, because maybe the fellow that you're buying from is not himself a boki, expert in the science of kashrus of fish. Ori le Rav Yehuda le Adadaila. That means that Rav Yehuda issued a ruling to Adadaila. Adadaila was a shamash. He was a servant, person who acted in a service capacity. And Rashi says here he was hired to prepare food, prepare meals. So Rav Yehuda ruled, Kevan de Omar ani malachtim mutoren. Rav Yehuda is consistent with what we just saw above in his name, in what he said, that ani malachtim, the declaration of these are the eggs from fish that I had salted, that is enough. It's not necessary for the customer to see the fish themselves. The ola shelchiltus mutter. We said in the Mishnah that the leaf of the chiltis, as opposed to the court shel chiltis. The court was a type of clump of hard material that's found on the leaves of the chiltis plant. This section, or this Mishnah that features the heter, concerns not the court, that wart-like or hard substance that's on the leaf, but rather the leaf itself. That's mutter, pshita. Well, that seems to be obvious. Loi nitzricha, elo lekreten sheboi. This lenient ruling concerns the kreten. Those are, once again, the hard substance that's stuck to the leaves. What seems to be is Rashi. Well, let's first take a look at Rashi. He says, lekreten sheboi. Hadvukin be'olav, o shenoshru be'kli. We're dealing with when the Mishnah says that the ola is mutter, we're not talking about the leaf itself. That's obvious. We're talking about the hard thing that's attached to the leaf. That's also mutter. So the kreten, if it's attached to the leaf, that is okay. O, Rashi goes on, shenoshru be'kli. There was a vessel that had leaves in it, and they have these kraton, these hard substances that fell off, and we say as follows. We say, as the Gemara goes on to say, Mahu de Tema Nechush Duma Maisi Uma Arev Bay. Maybe the vessel that's holding these leaves with the kraton that fell off from the leaves, maybe he mixed in to this vessel other kratons that he cut off with his knife. And in our previous sugya, we saw that kraton that were cut off with the knife, since the kraton are sharp, it will improve the taste that's in the knives of the Gentiles. And even if ordinarily absorbed taste in knives is losing tam levgam, gives off a bad taste, but since the kraton is a sharp substance, it tends to sweeten up whatever taste is on the Gentile's knife. So here I have a vessel that has in it leaves and kratons. We are telling you here that you can assume that the kraton that you find together with the leaves fell off from the leaves themselves, fell off and wasn't cut off. And I don't have to suspect what the Gemara just said, that we'll read that line again, that he may have brought other kratons that he cut off with his knife and mixed it in together with these. Kamash Malon Daha Ishtaruke Hi Dishtaruk the Osa Bahada. So the Mishnah is telling me that the cratons that I find together that are removed from the leaves that are together with the leaves but removed from them are cratons that simply fell off and were not cut off. And once again, and I don't have to suspect that he mixed in together with this other cratin that he cut off with his knife. Vezese gluskois hamugugolim. If we just glance at the Mishnah on Lamites Omidays, and we look at the Rashi, Rashi explains Zese gluskois hamugolim. Rashi on Lamites Omidays says, Zesim haknusim bekli ogol. These are olives that are collected in a round vessel, umischamamin, when they're pressed together in this round vessel, they heat up, v'ne'etzorin me'alein ke'en gluska, and they form a type of, we'll call it a cake of, or a loaf of olives, because of their being pressed together. So, right now we're talking about the zeisei gluskois hamugolin that I acquire from a Gentile. The Mishnah says that they are mutter. So Mora asks on that pshita. Why should you think otherwise? What do I need the Mishnah to tell me that you can buy, you can acquire from the Gentile zeisei gluskois hamugolin? Lo nitzrucha. The Mishnah is necessary. Afagav de rofi tuva. Even though the ones that I'm getting from him may be very soft. Mao de temo chamra rama behu. One might have thought that what contributed to their becoming very soft is that he added wine to it. And wine is, of course, a forbidden substance when speaking about wine acquired from Gentiles. Komash malon hani machmas mishcha hu de rofu. The Mishnah is informing us by saying that this is an allowed food item, it's because that their softness is because of the oil that is in them. The oil, apparently, or maybe a high oil content, is what makes them soft, and not that he added wine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shlochin Asurin. Rashi says, Shlochin, Shem Mishtalchin Garinin Me'atzmo. The olive pits slip out on their own. The Gemara explains, Hechi domi shalchin, what is meant by this thing, by shlochin, Omar of Yosi Bechanina, kol she'oichse biodo, v'garino nishmetes, any olive that you would hold, and just by picking it up, the pit would slip out. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that is forbidden. One will probably assume here that that the fact that it's so soft that the pit slips right out, that probably that's an indication that it was treated with wine. That's what it would appear from the context of the Gemara. Rashi himself doesn't elaborate on that, but one can figure that out from the Rashi just before that dealt with the Dibur Masel de Rofi Tuva, where in that Rashi says that the they were that the Gar Inosam Nishmetes, that this pit slipped out. So according to the Tanakhama, if you have olives that are that soft that the pit slips out, one does not have to be choshesh for the wine edition, but according to Rabbi Yossi, one would have to be choshesh for the wine edition. Hachagovim haboyin v'chulei. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that also makes mention of locusts and other things. The general topic is featured, by the way, on the outside margin with a Nosei heading, Divrei Mozoin Shel Akum, different food items from Gentiles, Shehetu Shalem Tolui Imevio Milifonov Oimina Oitzer. The allowance of it will be dependent on, did he sell it to you from from that which is sitting in front of him on the counter, or something that he took out of a storage facility. In general, things that one takes from a storage facility will be mutter, because there's no suspicion that he may have added wine to it. Wine, in some cases, just will added to food items and then left in storage would end up ruining it over the course of time. However, things that are available for immediate sale, namely stuff, food items that are on his counter, and the sale is imminent of that particular item, there is a tendency to add wine to it to give it a good taste. But once again, if it's kept in storage with that wine in it, it'll tend to ruin it. So the source says, Ton Rabbanan, Hachagovim, Vakafrisin, Vakaflutos. We've seen Kafrisin in an earlier Gemara that was a Shomer HaPri of the Tzlaf fruit. It was a type of shell or peel, a shell that protected the fruit from the Tzlaf tree, and it was edible. And Kaflutos, the Rach here makes a reference to the kaflutos, or he calls them roshe liftos, the top of a lefes plant. Haboyin min ha'oitzor min ha'heftik u'min ha'sfina, if they come from the storage facility, or a heftik is also some kind of place where they're gathered up, piled up, or it comes from a boat, mutarin. There's no problem with them. Hanim korin bekatluza, however, bekatluza lefnei chenvoni, those that are sold in the market from in front of him, from in front of the store owner. Now, in other words, he takes these items from a bowl that's sitting in front of him. Asurin lefnei shemezalef yayin aleim, because he sprinkles wine, talking here about the Gentile wine, on these things to make them tasty in anticipation of their immediate sale. V'chein yayin tapuchim shel oivdei kechavim, a similar distinction is made with regard to apple wine that Gentiles sell. Haboyim min ha'oitzim min heftik min ha'slula mutarin, those that come from storage, the wine that he sells to you, that he's taking out of storage, that's mutter. However, hanimkar bekatluza, that which he's selling to you in the marketplace, osir mitnei shemarvin bo yayin, because in anticipation of an immediate sale, he'll mix to this apple wine. He'll mix regular grape wine into it, and the grape wine is forbidden. Tanu Rabbanan. Since we made mention of the apple wine, we have a source that tells us a little story regarding it. Pamachas. Chosh Rebbe Memeov. Rebbe had digestive problems. Omar Klum Yesh Odom Shiodea Yayin Tapuchin Shel Evdei Chachavim Osur Mutter. He posed the question, does anyone know whether the apple wine produced from apples, that comes from the Gentiles, is it Osur, is it forbidden or allowed? Omar Lefonov Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. Rabbi Yishmael tells Rabbi, Pamachas chosh abo b'meyav. Once Rabbi Yossi, my father, had stomach troubles. V'heviu lo yayin tapuchin shel ovdei kochavim shel shivim shana. And they brought to Rabbi Yossi apple wine that was aged 70 years. V'shosu v'nisrapa. He drank it and got better. Omar loy, Rabbi said upon hearing this, is kol kach hoya biyodcha v'ata mitzarani. You knew this. And you didn't tell me, and as a result of this, I'm feeling pain. Bodku umatsu oivdei kochavim echad. They checked out and found a Gentile. Shehoya lo shlosh meos garvi yayin shel tapuchim shel shivim shana. That he had 300 barrels of this 70-year-old apple wine. V'shosa, and Rebbe drank it v'nisrapa and got better. Omar and Rebbe reacted. Boruch hamokoyim. Shemoser oylamoy l'shoimrim. Blessed be the Almighty that gave his world over to guards. He's referring here to the Gentile that had the wine that he had produced and kept, and Rebbe eventually benefited from it. V'chein l'truma. My v'chein l'truma. What is the connection between truma, the tithe given to Kohanim, and that which preceded it in the Mishnah, namely distinctions made from sources of items where they're being sold from? The Mishnah made a distinction between that which is sold from a storage area as opposed to that which is sold from right in front of him. Omar of Sheshes, V'chein l'koyhein ha'choshud limkor truma l'shem chulin. A similar distinction will be made with purchases made from a koyhein who is suspect of selling truma as if it were chulin. As you know, truma is something that only koyhanim are entitled to eat. As a result of the limited market for truma, its value is less than chulin. Chulin food has greater market value. So a truma, a koyein, might, if he's a low life, he might sell food items, present it as if it were chulin, but it's really truma that he happened to possess, and he's selling it off at chulin rates. So he's called a Kayin, that's choshed limkor truma l'shem chulin. Can I buy from him or not? If I'm not a kohen, it would be an iser for me to consume truma. So the rule is as follows: lefonav hu the oser. If he's selling you some fruits from right in front of him, in other words, he's taking it right off the counter and giving and handing it to you, that would be forbidden. If, however, it comes from a storage area, then it would be okay. Why? If he's selling it to you representing it as chulin, and he's taking it from a storage facility, then it's okay. Irtuse mirtas. There's a fear issue over here. There's a built-in deterrent. Sovar, he figures, Shami Bey Rabbonon, if the Rabbonon hear about it, namely, if I were to do something underhanded, like sell truma, in other words, I go to my storage facility and take out truma from a storage facility and pose it as chulin, and the Rabbonon, the rabbis, get wind of it, they will declare my entire storage facility, which contains a lot of produce, and be a big financial loss for him. They would come and declare it unknown. They'd mafkir it, my entire storage facility. So it's not worth it to me to try to practice something underhanded. But if it's from that which is sold right in front of him, he doesn't have much to lose. At this point, we begin the third perek. The third perek features laws concerning idols themselves and their prohibition when it comes to finding them or selling them, etc. The Mishnah opens up with a case of slomim, statues. Kol hatslomim asurin. All statues are forbidden, even bahana, to benefit from, shehein nevodim pam achas b'shana, since they are worshipped once a year. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim orim, eino osir, ela kol sheyesh b'yodo makel o tzipor o kadur. V'chachomim say, the only ones that are forbidden are those statues that have in their hands a stick, or a bird, or a ball. It's interesting to note, and the point we want to make now will be important for the Gemara, the Chachamim don't make the Chachamim who are obviously coming to disagree, but they don't make a comment concerning the Tzlomim that they are not worshipped. Whereas Rabbi Meir said that the statues are forbidden because they are worshipped once a year, the Chachamim don't come out forthright and say they're not worshipped. The Chachamim simply said that those statues that have these different articles in their hands, those are forbidden. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Kol Shiesh Biyodo Kol Dovar, any statue that has any item in its hand, even if it's an insignificant item, that type of statue, it will be forbidden. The Gemara asks, E dinevod pam achas bishan, if you have a statue that is worshipped once a year, the fact that you have a statue and it's actually worshipped one day a year, that would make it into an idol. In other words, it's not just a decorative piece. It's something that's worshipped. And the Rabbonin in the Mishnah didn't deny that. Therefore, my time of the Rabbonin. What is the reasoning behind the Rabbonin that basically say that all statues are allowed with the exception of those that have these items in their hand? But all those other statues that don't have these items in their hand, the Chachamim seem to be agreeing that they too are worshipped once a year. And if that be the case, why do they intimate that they would be allowed? Omer of Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omer of Yochanan. B'mekoymu sh'Rabbi Meir hoyu oivdin oiso pam achas b'shana. In Rabbi Meir's town, the statues that may appear as decorative, but they were worshipped once a year. So that's the case of the statues in Rabbi Meir's town. Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Limi'uta, Rabbi Meir who places a premium on minority statistics. In other words, you have the entire world, and you've got Rabbi Meir's place. When you look at the larger world, statues are statues, and they're not idols. When you look at Rabbi Meir's town, which is a miut, represents a minority of the world, in Rabbi Meir's town, the statues are idols. So Rabbi Meir, who takes into consideration the minority, Gozar Shar Mekoimos Otu Oisoi Mokom. He rules with stringency regarding all other places in anticipation of that place, of his place. So that all slumim are prohibited in anticipation of what of the minority of statues, namely those that are in Rabbi Meir's town, which are in fact worshipped. Vrabonon the Lo Chayshi Lemiuta, the Rabbanon who in their legal rulings don't take into consideration minorities, Lo Gozru Sha'ar Mekoimos Otu Oisei Mokom. They do not rule stringently with regard to all other places. Therefore, in all other places, if one comes across statues, in fact, they're okay. If you know for a fact that the statue is worshipped, even if it be once a year, the Rabbanon would agree that such a statue is forbidden. With that, we complete our shiur for today.